Will you stay standing as I read the Word of God this morning? I'm going to read a few scriptures for us that we'll be covering this morning, so just follow along. First one's from Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. Take care, brothers, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Then in Acts chapter 4, 36-37. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, for his name means son of encouragement, he owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And then in Acts 9, starting with verse 26, when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple, that meaning being Paul. But Barnabas took hold of him, brought him to the apostles, described to him how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And so Paul was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And then Acts 11, starting with verse 19. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them. A large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and so they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. So Barnabas left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church, taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, it is my prayer that you would open our ears. May you dig out canals so that your word will penetrate deep into our hearts. May we be, as Jesus said, ears who have ears to hear. So may we listen. May we find encouragement and strength in your word. May I be faithful to what you want me to say. May I lean in your strength. We ask this through Jesus. Amen. Got a question for you. Who was one of your best friends when you were growing up? Now, when I ask that, some of you immediately, already, faces and names come to mind. And apparently two of them are talking right now. Yeah. Some of you probably are pondering a little bit. Now, what was that name? And some of you are going, did I have friends? Yeah. Now, if I was to ask you to describe that relationship, what might you say? I'm guessing along the lines, some of the things that might come out is one thing might be, you know what? We had each other's back. They were there for me when I needed them and vice versa. Another thing that might be said is, you know, we did a lot of things together. We played together, we shared together, because I don't know who they were. Maybe it was a classmate of yours. Could have been a coworker. Might have been a neighbor. Might have been somebody that was on your ball team. So in the things that you did together, it might have been that we worked together or we played together. We were on the team. We did lots of stuff key word there was together. We did a lot of things side by side. We shared. In a sense, we shared that part of our lives together. A lot of conversations along the way. And then I'm guessing that some of you would even say about this particular friend is, we could say anything. Even there were times when they got in my face and told me what I didn't want to hear. They spoke truth to my face, and I did the same to them. We've been in the middle of a mini-series, if you will. 2 weeks ago, it was shared as every Paul needs a Timothy. We need Timothys in our lives, people that we invest in, people that we're farther along down the road than they are. Maybe that's because we've lived life longer. Maybe we've been in Christ longer. Maybe we know the material better. And so we are investing in somebody else. Maybe it's our children or our grandchildren. Maybe it is a coworker that we are teaching along the way. But primarily when we start talking about it in this idea of relational discipleship, this idea of investing into somebody else, teaching them the ways of Christ. But just like every Paul needs a Timothy, every Timothy needs a Paul. Somebody who is investing in them. Somebody who is farther down the road and sharing into me. Teaching me what I need to learn. Helping me to see what it takes. And today is this idea of every Paul needs a Barnabas. Somebody who walks with us along the way to encourage us, and who encourages us in a variety of ways, partly by having our backs, by being there for us when we need it. Somebody who maybe shares life together with, maybe we serve together in ministry, we walk together, we're in the same class, we minister to one another as we're ministering to other people. Yeah. But we need a Barnabas also in our life, somebody that will speak truth face to face when needed. We talk about every Paul needing a Barnabas. Let's talk a little bit about Barnabas. Who is he? Well, he's actually a guy by the name of Joe. Comes on the scene, and as I read from Acts chapter 4, starts out, and one of the things that Luke does is Luke sort of introduces somebody in the book of Acts, and then later they become a key part of the story. Well, he does that with Joseph. Joseph was this guy, it says, a man from Cyprus, which is an island in the northeastern part of the Mediterranean Sea. The church has just gotten started, Day of Pentecost, it's blooming, it's exploding with growth, and a lot of people stuck around Jerusalem, and one of the things that began to happen is people were even selling some property because they were trying to take care of each other's needs, and to do so, some people, including Joseph, sold some land and gave it to the apostles so that they could distribute it as needed. The next time we see Barnabas, and now from that point on, he is called Barnabas the rest of the way, because the apostles saw something in him that they changed his name. And he no longer was known as Joe or Joseph, but now they called him Barnabas because something about his character said, this guy encourages people by what he does, by how he lives, by what he says. Next thing we see in chapter 9 is he comes on the scene. What's just happened is that Paul has had his miraculous conversion on the road to Damascus. Blinding light, voice, Jesus like encounters Paul in a very unique way, gets his attention, blinds him for 3 days after his conversion. Paul is suddenly changed. God has gripped his heart so much that now he was wanting to put people in prison because of Jesus. Now he wants to preach to them about Jesus. He then makes his way from Damascus and comes back to Jerusalem, and the disciples want to have no part of it. He's now saying, hey, I'm one of you. I'm a follower of Jesus too. And they're like, when you left here, you were going out to put people in prison, putting people to death. You've been a part of this. You've been against us and on the other side for all this time. Then along comes Barnabas. Barnabas has Paul's back. Barnabas comes in and then tells the apostles, no, the things he's saying is true. Here's what he's been doing. And it really did actually happen the way he said. And once they got Barnabas's take on the whole thing, they all of a sudden accepted Paul into their room, into their lives. And then it tells us, then Paul was able to speak freely about Jesus there in Jerusalem. The next time we find Barnabas is, church in Jerusalem is hearing about things that's going on in Antioch of Syria, which is straight north a ways, 100 and some odd miles north. So they want to encourage the people, so what do? They send the son of encouragement. They send Barnabas up to encourage them in their newfound faith, in this new discipleship, this new walk. And so he is going and encouraging them along the way to do that. But then while he's there in Antioch, he goes and finds Paul, who has gone back to his old hometown of Tarsus. It's even farther north and around the coastline of the Mediterranean. And he grabs him and he brings him back to Antioch with him. And it says there, they train. They train for a year and they serve together. And they teach together. They minister side by side, working alongside of each other until we get to chapter 13. And now the Holy Spirit says, hey, set apart Barnabas and Saul. We've got a mission for them. We want to send them out. And then they go out on what we call Paul's first missionary journey. And they travel to places beyond Antioch, but in Perga and Pamphylia, and they go to Cyprus, and they go to Lystra and Derbe and Iconium and all of these places, sharing the message of Jesus with all of these places. Some are receptive, some are not. Some at one place they think they're gods. By the time they realize, oh, they're not gods, then they want to kill them. Aren't people fickle? Not only did Barnabas have Paul's back in the beginning, but then they shared ministry along side by side, encouraging one another. And then we find after they come back from Jerusalem, they come back to Jerusalem after that first journey. They're going to be there for a while. And then something happens. I'm going to pick it up in chapter 15, verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, hey, let's return and visit the brothers in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord. And let's see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting they should not take him along, the one who had deserted him in Pamphylia and had not gone with him to the work. There occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Yeah. Good buds, probably best friends for a while, journeyed, shared life together. Hey, he's got my back. And then they have this, what the Bible calls a sharp disagreement. That doesn't happen in church. People disagreeing with each other, getting it, fighting over something. And what's it about? Paul doesn't want John Mark to go on the trip with him because on that first journey, John Mark went with him, or at least he started with him, and then he backed out and went back home. Now, we don't know why. It doesn't tell us why. We can guess. Maybe he's just young, and he's young. Maybe it's because he just hadn't had the maturity yet to do what was needed. Could be. Maybe got homesick. That happens, especially when we're young. All we know is Paul felt like, he did this, he'll probably do it again. And Barnabas did what Barnabas does, is Barnabas had John Mark's back. Now we know that they were relatives, either a cousin or a nephew, but Barnabas felt like, hey, let's take John. He rallied around him and encouraged him and says, hey, I know what happened before. Let's keep going on. Let's do this again. Paul didn't want to have anything to do with it. Every time I read this, I'm always siding with Barnabas. I'm always thinking, I'm glad he stuck up for John Mark. I'm glad he kind of got in Paul's face. But either way, these guys had disagreements over it, but they went their different ways, and Paul took Silas, and they went this direction, and Barnabas took Mark, and they kind of went a similar direction, but different. But one of the things I've noticed, sometimes we learn from things. Paul's very, very last book that he writes, 2 Timothy, he's sitting there in prison. He knows his time is very short. And he's telling Timothy, hey, when you come, it's cold here. Would you bring my coat? Would you get the parchments? I left those in Troas. Would you bring those? Oh, no. Would you bring Mark? He's been very useful to me. This is written decades after that first encounter. Somewhere along the line, Paul and Mark were working together. And I don't know if it would not have happened if Barnabas had not come alongside of John Mark and had his back, nor if Barnabas had gotten in Paul's face and says, no, let's take John Mark. You know, we need people in our lives who will, from time to time, get in our face when we need it. We're not right all the time. I think I am often, but I realize I am not, or at least that's been pointed out to me. This whole idea of relational discipleship, sometimes it's investing in others who are not as far as we are, and sometimes it's somebody invested in me. But I would say that a lot of it happens in a mutual ministry sort of way. That those people that are our peers and our friends, there's a mutual accountability, a mutual mentoring, a mutual discipling that goes on as we encourage each other on this journey. Reminding us to stay true to the Lord, reminding us what we need to do. And let's do this together. Let me tell you about another Barney and Paul. Paul moved into Barney's neighborhood. They lived 3 or 4 houses down from each other. As he moved into town, Barney noticed, we got neighbors. And he's got little girls, just like Barney had little girls. And so he made a batch of chocolate chip cookies and took it over to the family and met them and says, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. That began a friendship. Pretty soon, Paul invited Barney to be a part of some of the activities that he did, one of those being fantasy football. Now, there's a well-kept secret around here, but Washington Avenue has a fantasy football league. You didn't know that, but a few of the guys in the room are on it. I won't say who won, but I know who didn't win, and it was me, yeah. But Barney and Paul became friends more and more through that, and they began to have suppers at each other's houses and play cards, and the kids would play with one another until one said, hey, I had this great idea. Let's go vacation. Let's go to the state park and camp over Memorial Weekend. So they did. It got late, and the girls, moms and the daughters, all went back to their tents. And Barney and Paul sat around a campfire, just talking, sharing things. And one of them dared to go deeper. When they did, they deepened the friendship. And over time, they shared ministry frustrations, because guess what? Paul was in ministry just as Barney was. And yes, there are ministry frustrations. They shared marriage frustrations. Yes, there are marriage frustrations. We know them well. But more often than not, they shared what I would call myself frustrations. Ways in which we didn't measure up. Ways in which we were tripping up. Ways in which we didn't live up to what we thought we should. And around that campfire, I'm so grateful that one of us dared to go deeper. For you see, Paul is actually Paul. That is his name. Barney is better known as sometimes Skinny Lenny. But he's been called Barney before. For the last 35 years, more than a handful have said something about him looking or being or acting like Barney Fife from Andy Griffith's show. Others have said he looks like Don Knotts, who actually played Barney Fife. Others said, oh, he reminds me of Mr. Furley, who was Don Knotts playing that character. And so now I have a Barney Fife picture in my office, autographed. That relationship blossomed over time because we dared to go deeper. We dared to become more open. And there were times when we did ministry together and we did things side by side. There were times we had each other's back. And then there's those moments when one of us had to get in the other's face, if you will, often over a phone, and say, Lenny, you're being a jerk. Okay, I mean, Lenny didn't always have to be on the receiving end. It just seemed like he was. No. I am grateful to have had somebody in my life who was there in all of those situations and scenarios. I read a scripture from Hebrews chapter 3 earlier. I'm going to come back to it. It says this, take care, brothers, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that no one will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. For we have become partakers in Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. There is something about us individuals, about human nature, that gets discouraged easily. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us to encourage one another, because people have a tendency to, if they're not careful and they don't keep themselves in check, their heart can become evil and unbelieving. Or if they're not careful, they can be hardened, because sin has a way of deceiving us. My favorite definition of courage, and I say this to the Iron Men at our breakfast or retreat or wherever when I'm talking about this idea, my favorite definition of encouragement is to come alongside of somebody else and pour courage into them. We as people have a tendency to want to give up, to quit. When it gets hard, is it worth it? I don't know. We have We have this ability to, even in the midst of a crowd, think that we're all by ourselves. Or when we're going through something that nobody's ever really gone through this like I have. We need people to come alongside of us and to pour some courage into us and tell us, you know what, you're not alone. Others have gone through the same thing. We need somebody to come alongside and pour a little bit of courage and say, I know you feel weak right now, but in Christ, you are strong. When we are weak, he is strong. I know you feel like giving up, or you don't want to go on, or the temptation just seems too strong, or you just insert it there. We need people who will come alongside of us and pour a little bit of courage that gives us the strength, the will, the hope to endure or to thrive or to survive. And he says in 3:13, encourage one another day after day or daily, as long as it's called today. I don't know about you, but I can get discouraged quite easily, more than I think I would. The day can be going great, and in a couple of hours, somehow I get depressed. Somehow, when I thought everything was well, now it's not. It's easy to get that way. So he says, you know what? As long as it's called today, encourage people. And I realized, do you know what? 3 months ago, when we were there, on that day, it was today. Yesterday, while we were feeding our faces of chili and salsas, and while we were there, it was today. Tomorrow, some of you are going to go back to work. Well, when you get there, it's going to be today. And in a few months from now, when we're there, it'll be today. So encourage one another daily. Encourage people. Hold firm to the end. One of the things I didn't tell you earlier in my story with Paul was prior to that was I was having conversations with Melinda and conversations with the Lord. Saying, I need a friend. Now, I've always had friends. I've had some good friends along the years, not just growing up, and even early adult years. And I had a really good best friend in college. He lived in Oklahoma City with me, and me in Indiana with him at least twice for both of us. But over time and distance kind of hampered that one a little bit. And I'm in the middle of a season where I just needed somebody to come alongside and pour some courage into me. Somebody who would be that friend. And I remember praying and talking about that. And then God brought Paul. In this room, there are at least two of us. I don't mean two people, but two kinds. Some of you in this room are those who need a Barnabas. You need a Barnabas to really, right now, come alongside of you and maybe somebody who has your back, somebody who will just do some things alongside of you, encourage you that way. To you, I would say, hey, just pray. Pray about it. Ask God to bring somebody in. The others of us in this room are people who need to be a Barnabas. Maybe God is prompting you in some way. In fact, right now, you're maybe thinking, oh, I know who it is. Some of you, maybe you know you ought to be. And I would tell you to look. Look around. Pay attention. Some of you already know some of those situations that you could go to and speak into. You just haven't had the courage to do it. May God give you the courage to go speak courage into the life of someone else. God puts us in a family to walk along side by side, to serve side by side, to share ministry together. He invests people in our lives, and we invest in other people's lives, but more often than not, we're sharing life with other people. May we be able to come alongside of and to encourage one another. And if you think you're the person that needs a Barnabas, who knows? Maybe God will just use you to be the Barnabas as you continue to pray and to look. There's a song, it's called Everybody Needs a Little Help. Just read a few words from it. I heard the news about you a little while ago. I tried to call, but you weren't at work. I'm glad I caught you at home. No one else in this whole wide world could mean as much as you to me, so I thought I'd drop by for a little while in case you needed a friend. Everybody needs a little help to get their life together, and you're no exception. Everybody needs another hand that they can hold on to. Everybody needs a little help to get their life together, and I want to give it to you. Do you miss that relationship that you had when you were younger? If you don't have that now, maybe you're missing out on it now. I've shared enough to know that not everybody has those close people they walk with. Part of it, it's maybe we haven't looked. Part of it is some of us just keep ourselves closed off. We're scared to open up ourselves to anybody else, and we're scared to dive into somebody's life. It might cost us more than we want to give. Do you need a Barnabas? Or maybe God is prompting you to speak some encouragement into the life of somebody else. Who knows? It might start with an invitation. It might start with you just involving yourself in their lives or they in yours. And you never know. It might even start over a batch of chocolate chip cookies. Now, let's pray. Lord, around the room is a variety of needs, a variety of situations, and I pray that they may find encouragement in your word, encouragement of just being here with the body, but Lord, we know that some of us need more than that. We need somebody who can be like Barnabas, who is like Jesus, who will come alongside and just pour some courage into us, reminding us that they're not alone. Reminding us that even when we're weak, you are strong. And even given us the strength to stand when we would rather run or to get back up when we have fallen. We need those people in our lives, Lord. And Lord, around the room too, we've got people who they just have the need that you are prompting in them to be that Barnabas to somebody else. I pray they don't ignore your nudgings. And Lord, as we leave from here, may we not ignore your nudgings to us. I thank you that you have put us in this family. I thank you for your love for us. And may we, as we do this journey together. May we, even in the struggle, struggle well with one another as we find our strength and our hope in you. So, Lord, help us to encourage each other each day as we find ourselves in that day. For it is in Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. As you make your way out of this auditorium today, I pray that these are not just words, but truly that you find people, that you listen to what God is telling you and putting upon you, that you look around for someone who you may encourage, who needs it, or that you pray and that you look around for people who you might can get involved with, who just might be the one who encourages you. And thirdly, if you need a recipe for chocolate chip cookies, I can give that to you. Yeah. May you all have a good day.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.